Blog Talk Radio.
It's from my family in the world. This is the KR Talk Show.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder Jesus R coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm stretching down into Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. And the song that you hear in the background is The Old Rugged Cross. It's Every Love, Suffering, and Shame. I'm coming on with that song because that's the only song that I know there's power, amen, in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without the cross of Christ, there would be no hope for the world today. But thank God Almighty, He was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, and He's coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And I want to let you know, it's not no denominational church. It's not no occult church. It's the body of Christ, born again believers that have put their trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way a man can come back to God is through the cross. Nothing but the cross, cross from here eternity. Before there even was man on the planet, before the creation of mankind, the creation of the world, God is all by Himself. God is self-existent one. God don't have no beginning, neither does He have an end. He's the Alpha and Omega. Man has a beginning. Man was made out of the dust of the ground. And so people want to know, where did God come from? Well, I am too small, too impotent, I'm too frail to even try to comprehend that, because no man on this planet, no angel, amen, no cherubim, no seraphim can comprehend the eternity of God Almighty. There is no beginning to God. He is what He is. He will always be that way. Amen. Nobody can change Him. And He's a God of love. God loves. God is nothing but pure love. And He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. That's showing you that man has a beginning and man has an end. And now man is going through a process. And that process started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God put man in the Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and gave them a choice. To make a long story short, don't want to prolong the time, God created man out of the dust of the earth and made him after His likeness and after His image. So we have the image of God divinely, and we have the image of God physically. So what that means, image and likeness, that means that we look like God. We talk like God. But we're not God. We're made in His image. And God gave man to make a choice. And He said, the day you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. In other words, don't eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat it thereof, you will surely die. That don't mean a physical death. That means a spiritual death. Man died in the Garden of Eden. He was cut off from God. And guess what happens? Satan came in and deceived Adam and Eve, and humanity was in the hand of Satan. Satan took over, because Satan is the cause of man falling. By Adam and Eve listening to them, they failed. They were cut off. They lived physically, but they were spiritually dead, cut off from God. And ever since then, every child, every baby, every boy, every girl that was ever born was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Did my mother conceive me? The Bible said we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man without God in his life is a wreck. I don't think you heard that. I say God, man without God in his life, man is a total wreck. You know, worse than an automobile wreck, worse than an airplane wreck, worse than a boat wreck. Man is totally cut off from God. And when he's cut off from God, he falls into the hand of Satan. Satan rules man now. Satan, amen, is in control of man because man let him be in control. When man was born, he was born, separated from God. Satan had control of him. Satan got control of humanity today. But in all that Satan has tried to do to destroy mankind, God will save some. You hear what I said? God will save some. He can save everybody, but everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody don't want to accept Jesus Christ. Everybody don't want to come to the cross. Everybody don't want to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Majority of the world is lost. Majority of the world will die and go to hell. Uh-oh, what did I say that for? Amen. The Bible say hell is enlarged itself, and it's getting larger and larger every day because men prefer to live their own life and keep themselves separated from God and die without God. And when they die without God, they believe that they will go to heaven. But you cannot go to heaven unless you have a what? A divine relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way that God, only way that God could bring man back to God, somebody had to die. Somebody had to die for the sins of the world. Somebody had to be killed. Somebody had to be living without sin, no sin. Somebody had to be born without sin, shame, and iniquity and debauchery. Somebody had to be born holy, righteous, without sin. Think about that. Think about it. Somebody had to be born. All the men from Adam and Eve that was ever born was never born sinless. Nobody. You can name every leader, every king, every prince, every dictator, every false person that you can think of. You can let you. I know for sure. I know for sure they were born in sin. Nobody on this planet was born without sin. Nobody on this planet will ever be born without sin. The only man that was born without sin. The only man that was born without sin, the only man that was born perfect, the only man that was born righteous, the only man that was born guiltless, the only man that was able to do what no other man to do, and that was God-man, God in man. God manifested himself in what? The flesh, seen of angels. Justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. And the only name that's given among men where men can be saved is the name of Jesus Christ. Get this now. Get this. Jesus Christ is the only God-man that was ever born and came to this planet. God chose Mary to bring forth this son. And he said, you shall bring forth the son and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior and Christ means anointed, anointed one. Now, there's only one man that has ever been able to anoint himself, and the anointed one is God Almighty, and that was Christ, Jesus Christ. The word Christ means divine, divine, and he had a human side. And he had a divine side. He had God and man put together. And God walked on this earth 33 1/2 years in a body of flesh. And he did miracles because he was God in the flesh. And he suffered and died on Calvary's cross in the flesh. And he died and went to the bowels of hell. and preached to those in prison and stayed there 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, he got up out of the grave by himself. There was nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else. You hear what I said? Nobody else did this. Nobody else could do this. Why? Because this same God, amen, rules and reigns today. He sits on the right-hand side of the Father in heaven, and guess what? He is on his own ball. He is saving souls today. You might not think Jesus Christ, amen, people accepted Jesus Christ today, but they are, men are being saved today on a minority basis, not the majority. Majority of the world, listen to me now. Listen to me. Majority of the world is going to hell. Not because of God's fault. Not because of a fault of something that God did. Men are going to hell because they refuse to understand that God is God all by himself, and he made man, and he did a sacrifice like no other man done to save what? To save man from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And since man don't believe there's a God, many people are agnostics. Many people believe having a lot of lip service, but they don't have no heart experience with Jesus Christ. Some people that believe they can go to heaven on their works, on their looks, on their education, on their status quo. People believe because the color of the skin, amen, God's going to give people with different color of skin, a certain color of skin, you can go to heaven, but you can't go to heaven by no other way. There's no other way that you can ever come in the presence of God Almighty and live with him forever. But one way, you have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You got to turn, repent from your lying self, your backbiting self, your selfish self. Amen. You got to repent from your whorish ideas and your fornication and your backbiting and your killing and your murder and your hatred. You got to turn from that and what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins and paid the penalty for your sins. 2,000 years ago, he died. 2,000 years ago, he got up out of the grave. 2,000 years ago, it's been that period of time that he went back to heaven, and guess what? He's coming back again. But this time, he's not coming back to die. He's not coming back to play pat-a-cake, bake that man. He's not coming back to have a golf tournament. He's not coming back for no reason but one reason, and that is to judge the world in righteousness. And I know you got people who say, well, we got plenty of time, and the Lord really ain't coming, and all this Bible prophecy and eschatology and the fundamentals of Bible doctrines are being taught. Oh, that's a bunch of wishy-washy, because they've been talking about this thing for so long, man. It's been like a broken record. Well, it's not a broken record, because God is warning the generation today over and over and over and over again for the last 2,000 years. Judgment have come upon this earth prematurely because of the storms, earthquakes. God is showing his hand. He's showing that he's in control. He gives man enough grace to make up his mind, and man is stomping all over God's grace, telling, well, he ain't going to do nothing. If he's going to do nothing, why don't he do it? No, God don't execute judgment right away. He gives man grace enough to correct his ways and turn from his wickedness. But man says, I'm not going to turn because I believe I can work my way to heaven. And this is one big mistake that humanity is making, and that is they think they can go to heaven on their own goodness. They think they can go to heaven because they got an education. They think they're going to heaven because they go to church and sing in the choir and preach behind the pulpit, but that don't mean you're going to heaven. No. You got to have a direct divine relationship with Jesus Christ through the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You got to have it. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, Lord, how can I be born again when I'm old? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, nay, nay, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the spirit before you can ever see or enter into the kingdom of God. And the new birth comes only one way. It cannot come no other way. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is absolutely one way to heaven. One way. Not two ways, not three ways, not four ways. There's only one way. A sinner man can enter to the presence of God is that he be converted, change his heart, change his soul, change his spirit, change his behavior. Change have got to come. And when that change comes, you will know that you have been born again, because the Bible says you know, you absolutely know you have passed from death to life because you love the brethren. And if you love the brethren, guess what? The love of God covers a multitude of sins. Any man says that he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar, a liar. You cannot love God. If you say you love God and hate your brother, you are two-faced, backstabbing liar. You cannot see God. You cannot even come in his presence with God, because you must have the love of God in your heart through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying this is Watchman on the Wall, End Time, Global Link Ministry. I'm coming to you from the Word of God. We're going to be talking about this Antichrist that's alive today, and he's waiting. Oh, man, he's anxious to come out from behind the scene, and he is alive today, and he's walking up on the face of this earth right now. He has been born. He has lived old enough to become the king of a nation, which I'm going to talk about right now. He's the king of this certain nation, and we're going to find out what nation that he is the king of. And when you find this your nation that he comes out of, that is the Antichrist. A lot of people believe that he's coming from the United States. Well, I can tell you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, he's not coming from the United States. He's not coming from Canada. He's not coming from Australia. He's not coming from Mexico. He's not coming from Korea. He's not coming from Russia. He's not coming from China. He's not coming from the Islam nations. He's not coming from that. No, that's a no-no. No, there's no one qualified to come right now out of any nation on the face of the earth, but one nation. This Antichrist exists right now, and he's the king of this nation. He's the king of this country, and he's getting ready to come on the scene. But you got to remember, before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, there is a seven-year tribulation. Absolutely. There is a seven-year tribulation. This tribulation is a judgment that's going to come up on the earth for seven long years. God is going to judge the world. Satan will be in control of the population of this world, not in control of the universe. He's in control of the population. He's in control of the beer joints, and he's in control of the house of prostitution. He's in control of child pornography. He's in control of telling people God is dead. He's in control of that, and he's got man totally confused and believing that men will die and never have to pay the penalty for their sins. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, man, let me tell you something. If you don't let Jesus Christ pay for your sins by accepting him and repenting of your sins and let him come into your life, you got to pay for your own sin. You got to pay for your own sin. Amen, amen. Because number one, if you don't let Christ take your sins and wash you and make you white in the snow through the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and repenting and turn from your ways and let Christ come into your life, and you die without Jesus Christ in your life, you will absolutely spend eternity in a place where you will pay for your sins. And a lot of people don't believe that. They think it's a monkey doctrine. They think it's a doctrine that they can laugh at, but this is no laughing matter, because I want to let you know right now. I'll tell you right now, I walk across the Atlantic Ocean, and if I could, and let you know there is a place of eternal judgment, eternal punishment, because sin is devastating. Sin rape people. Sin kill people. Sin twist people's minds. Sin cause people to turn natural, sin is able to turn men into women and women into men. Sin is devastating. Sin will be damned into hell forever. Because let me tell you something. Hell was not made for mankind. Hallelujah. Hell was not made for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And his angels are going to pay the consequence at the end of the tribulation period. But right now, we're getting ready to enter into the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. In other words, there's 7 years of judgment that will take place upon this planet, and it will not take place. Listen to me now. It will not take place until after the greatest event. The greatest event that will strike the earth since the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest event that will hit this planet soon and very soon. And that is the greatest thing that will stir up people and convince people. And that is the rapture. The rapture is the next biggest prophecy. Eschatology. The rapture of the body of Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost filled, born again believers. Woo-hoo! They will be transported from earth to glory in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord forevermore. And now we're living on the edge of the rapture. And we're going to talk about that right now. The rapture means the catching away of the people of God. You hear what I say? Not no denomination, not no cult. No denomination, no hope. Born again believers. Now, we got all kinds of names of religions, of course. We got the atheists. The atheists believe they're going to heaven. We got the New Age movement. We got Buddhism. We got Judaism, which is a unique religion because it was used in the Old Testament. But now Jesus Christ fixed that. They used to offer sacrifices and animals. The Jews offer sacrifices and animals, and turtle doves and red heifers in the Old Testament. They used to do that. So that was a type and shadow of an ultimate sacrifice that would be able to cleanse man's soul and his spirit and his mind and change his life. But that was not able to do that, but it was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice. And the better sacrifice could only come by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice in the whole round eon universe. There's nothing else on the other side of eternity or on this side of eternity that's no greater than the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For man, somebody had to die, and it was Jesus Christ and him only that died for our sins. And by him dying for our sins, he's the only one that's able to bring us back to God. Because Judaism can't do it. Shintoism cannot do it. Some of these are heathen religions. Mormonism. They don't have no... They talk about Jesus, but they don't believe that he's the Son of God. We got unity. We got Satanism. We got Taoism. We got Lutherans. We got Christian Science. We got Jehovah's Witness. We got the Nazarenes, and we got Islam, and we got Methodism, and we got fashionism, we got Catholic, we got non-denom, we got Church of God, we got the Baptists, we got KKK, we got Nazism, we got Armstrongism, we got voodoo, we got witchcraft, we got lesbians and homosexuals and Sodomites, we got apostolic faith. We got the Church of God in Christ, we got Confucianism, we got humanism. These are all religions. And some denominations come from the Word of God. But if they come from the Word of God, they got to come from John 3:1, and that is Nicodemus, you're king of the Pharisees. You're the head of the Pharisee order. You know all about the Sanhedrin court. But let me tell you something, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And if he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, that means everybody that ever was born, if they want to see Jesus, if they want to live with Jesus, if they want to have the love of Jesus, they're going to have to come to Jesus Christ and bow down at the foot of the cross and confess to the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, I am a low-down, rotten sinner. I was born in sin because of the sin that Adam and Eve. I couldn't help not being born in sin, but by I've been born in sin. I need a substitute. I need a redeemer. I need somebody to save my soul. I need somebody to keep me saved. I need somebody that I can tell somebody else about what they can do for me. And the only man that can do that is Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus said, is that the way it goes? In other words, I must have a spiritual birth. So all the religions of the world, Protestants, occults, Illuminatis, Luciferians, Kabbalah, all these religions and different kinds of ways that man is trying to reach God will never, never, never come in the presence of God unless they be born again. Again. Only once. Only once you can be born again. You can't be born twice. You can't be 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The Bible says you're born again. You're born once and for all because Jesus Christ died one time. One time. He ain't dying no more. He ain't coming back down here and die on the cross no more. The next time Jesus Christ strikes this earth and his feet stand on the top of the Mount of Olives, judgment will take place. But before Jesus Christ arrives at the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist will come first. So the devil, Luciferians, Illuminatis, Kabbalah, Baphomet, all the secret society, they are looking for the Antichrist. They are looking for the false Christ. They will consider that it is the true Christ, but it will be the devil. D-E-V-I-L. You hear what I say? The devil will manifest himself during the tribulation period. But now the Antichrist is waiting in the wing for his turn to come on the scene to deceive the world. No man knows the day and hour that Jesus Christ is going to come. No man knows the day and hour that the rapture of the church is going to come. But the Bible says when you see all these things come to pass. All of what things, preacher? All that Jesus said. And what did Jesus say that will come to pass before he come? He said all kinds of things will come up on the earth. And when it comes up on the earth, it will be so powerful that men will make it repeats and repeats and telling you, for the last 2,000 years, Jesus Christ prophesied in 70 A.D. and told the disciples in the 13th chapter of Mark, he told them this, I'm going to take you on top of the Mount Olive, and I'm going to let you know what's going to happen before I come back. And before I come back, the world is going to get in an awful, torn-up state. It will be oblivion. It will be so messed up, men will actually lose their mind and hear what he said. And Jesus said, Jesus answered them saying, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. We got all kinds of clowns coming on the scene these days, telling that they're Jesus Christ and they're not Christ. He said, I am Christ, shall deceive many. Many people will be deceived, and people are being deceived today like flies in a monkey barrel, like flies hanging around a garbage dump. He said, when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need to be, but the end is not yet. Oh, the end is not yet, but it's coming. Oh, yes, it's coming. And now we're living in the 21st century. We're living in the last generation. This is the last generation, my friend. There's no other generation after this generation. This generation is so messed up. Amen. And the reason why, because people won't hearken to the word of the Lord. He said, and when you shall hear wars and wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need to be. But the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles, and these are the beginning of sorrow. But take heed yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils in the synagogue. Ye shall be beaten, ye shall be brought before the kings, and my name's sake, for the testimony against them, and the gospel, good God Almighty, shall be published among all nations. But when you shall hear, when you shall lead you and deliver you up, and take no thought for beforehand what ye shall speak, neither shall you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak. For it is not ye that speak it, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brethren shall betray the brothers to death, and the fathers and the sons and children rise up against the parents. This is the last day, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. The Jewish nation, the Christians, the Jews and the Christians are the most hated people up on the planet. The world, the Illuminatis and the Luciferians trying to get rid of all the Christians and all the Jews. Why? Because these are the people that carry the name of Jesus Christ. And anytime you find a person preaching the word of God and living the word of God and proclaiming the word of God and willing enough to die for the word of God, then you got a child of God there. Because I'd rather die for Christ than die for sin. I'd rather die for Christ than die for anything on this planet. I'd rather die for Christ than all the money in the world. I'd rather die for anything, because I know that after I die, Jesus Christ will catch me in glory. He said, but when you shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, where it shall ought not to be, let him that readeth understand, let him that be in Judea to the mountains. This would be during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a period of 7 years of judgment upon the planet. But in the middle of the tribulation, the abomination desolation shall come. And the abomination desolation represents and it signifies that the time is coming when the Jews are going to rebuild the temple. And when they rebuild this temple, they tell me they're building it because they believe that this Antichrist is the true Christ, and they believe that the Old Testament laws and riches are still in office. They believe that Judaism is going to be revived. But I'm going to tell you one thing, Judaism will not be revived, because Jesus Christ fixed that. He made an offering and a sacrifice once and for all, and that is he eliminate the bulls and the turtle doves and the goats and the red heifers. No more men have to offer sacrifices of animals, because Jesus Christ gave himself over to a sacrifice, and he let himself be crucified and hung on the tree and hung up there for 9 long hours and dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and went down into the bowels of hell and preached to those in prison. And when the third day came, he got up out of the grave. Now he paid the penalty for sin, and now man can come unto Jesus Christ to receive the power of God. And the only way you can know God Almighty, you got to have faith in Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he was manifested in the flesh and seen of angels and justified the spirit. You got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. And what he did on Calvary's cross, it was God who did it through his son, Jesus Christ. Only one God. He said in the last day, so the abomination, desolation would take place in the middle of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, the gospel will be preached by the Jewish people. But in the middle of the 3.5 years, they tell me the temple, amen, will be desecrated by the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to remove the Ark of the Covenant, and he's going to get into the Holies of Holies and desecrate it. That is the abomination of desolation. And the Antichrist is going to be a miracle worker through the works of Satan and his mystery, and he's going to be resurrected from the dead by an assassination. The Antichrist will be killed, and when he's killed, he will be resurrected by Lucifer, and Lucifer actually will incarnate himself. And I'm going to stop there. There's a period coming in time in history, in the middle of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be killed. And he'll be killed. He's going to be shot through the head by an assassin bullet. And he's going to lay dead. Now listen, he's going to lay dead for 3 days. And on the third day, Revelation 12 speaks of a war going on in heaven. And this war will be between Michael, the archangel, and Lucifer, the fallen one, the old red dragon, the old serpent, Beelzebub, the tempter, the liar, will be cast out of heaven. And he'll be cast out of heaven with all his cohorts, all his demons, which are the UFOs that circulating in our atmosphere right now. These UFOs are the demonic demons, spirits. They are entities of wicked spirits, and they are ancient. They're way back before the world. When Adam and Eve fell, amen, these ancient spirits exist today. They haven't changed. They're still trying to do the job that Lucifer is trying to do, trying to dethrone God, trying to take the place of God, trying to destroy the human race. And let me tell you, he's doing a job like never before, because people are so ignorant and so stupid to believe that there's no heaven, that there's no hell, that there's no God, that they can get to heaven any kind of way. It is a liar, and the truth is not him. And Satan got the whole world deceived. Why? Because the Bible says the whole world will be deceived by Lucifer, and the world has been fooled to try to find another man, or try to find another savior, or try to find another way to get to heaven, or try to find another work that they can do good enough to go to heaven. But hey, you ain't good enough to go to heaven, and you ain't bad enough to go to hell. But the world today is trying to get to heaven without being washed in the blood of the Lamb. It takes the Lamb's blood to sanctify your soul, your S-O-U-L, soul. Your spirit man has to be sanctified, set apart from sin. The only power on this planet, the only power on the bottom side of hell, the only power that's above heaven is the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that can save you to the utmost. And you ain't that big that you can't be saved. You ain't, my God, you're just like a little grasshopper. You're gnat on a camel's back. Lord, have mercy. You're so small that it would take you a microscope. It would take a microscope to find you 35,000 miles up in the air. If you would take a plane and look down from 35,000 feet, you couldn't even see me. Ooh, how small is man? Man is so tiny and so small and insignificant, and they don't realize, humanity don't realize, they need a God in their life. Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you, you ain't too big that you can't go to hell. You ain't too smart that you can't go to hell. But one thing about it, if you haven't been born again, oh, there we go again, back to the new birth. Come on now. This Antichrist will sit in the temple. He will desecrate the temple. That's the abomination, desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. And it is coming, it is coming, it is coming. And now the secret society and all the Illuminati and all the Luciferians and all the Baphomets and all the false worship that's going on in the earth today, men are worshiping everything else. But they will not worship Jesus Christ. They will not bow down to Jesus Christ. They will not honor Jesus Christ. They don't fear Jesus Christ. They think he's some kind of patty cake bait, that man. Oh, my God, but you're sadly mistaken. He's God Almighty wrapped up in human flesh, and he sacrificed himself that through that, amen, man could be redeemed. Man could be redeemed. This is what it said. It says, and let them that's on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. And let them that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the wintertime, nor on the Sabbath day. Listen, let me tell you, this is talking to the Jewish people. The Jewish people don't believe in traveling, amen, on the Sabbath day. Don't let the flight of the Antichrist after he's been resurrected come on a Sunday. And don't let it be in the wintertime. Because if it's in the wintertime, people ain't going to want to go pray that he don't come on the Sabbath and pray that he don't come on in the wintertime. Because in the middle of the tribulation, the devil is going to resurrect this Antichrist and he will become the beast of the earth. He will become a tyrant. How bad is this guy going to be? Woo! Let me try to give you an explanation how bad this Antichrist is going to be, because he's going to be the raw devil. It's going to be the devil himself. Woo! I hope you can comprehend it. It's going to be the devil himself in the flesh. Now, the devil don't care nothing about nobody's life. He don't care nothing about you. He don't care nothing about babies. He don't care nothing about nobody. He's out to do three things, and three things he can only do: kill, rob, and destroy. And he's killing folks, he's destroying people, and he's robbing people. He's robbing people of their salvation. He's robbing people of everything they've got. And how can the devil rob you? He can rob you because you will not turn to the blood of Jesus Christ. You will not come to the cross and kneel down. You will not repent from your sin and turn from your wicked ways. He said, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Oh, my God. He's telling you, don't worry about the cross. He's trying to get you away from the cross. He's trying to keep you away from the cross. Because if he keep you away from the blood of Jesus Christ and repenting of your sin and turning to Jesus Christ, he got you. He got you. He got you. You can't do nothing to set yourself free. The only way you can set yourself free, the truth shall make you free. And the truth is, Jesus Christ is the only way you can be born again. He is the only way. Satan cannot give you the new birth. He cannot. He's unregenerated. He cannot receive salvation. Satan is doomed forever, and he wants you to go to hell with him. He don't care. He don't care how pretty you are. He don't care the color of your skin. He don't care your education. He don't care how much money you got. He don't care how many times you done been to church. He don't care how many times you done prayed. He don't care. He don't care. He don't care. And he's trying to tell you, you can make it in without the new birth. You can make it in without the cross. Well, he's a lying wonder, and the truth is not in him. You're calling Jesus Christ a liar if you don't believe. You must be born again. You telling me Jesus going around telling lies? We are the liars. Jesus Christ ain't never told a lie. Can't tell a lie. He's God. God can't lie. God can't backslide. God can't change his mind because he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forevermore. And he said, I'm coming to judge the world in righteousness. And I'm going to give man time enough. And he don't gave man time enough already. He don't gave man 6,000 years to come to him. Turn from their wicked. 6,000 years of grace. Even under the law, there was grace. But now grace is much more abundant now because Christ died for our sin. So God said, I'm going to give you an opportunity since I died for your sin. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get saved. I want you to come to me. I don't want you to run up to the preacher and think he's going to save you, your mama, your daddy, your sister, or your automobile, or your aunt, or your in-laws, and your uncle. They can't save you. Praying all day can't save you. You got to repent. You got to be broken up. You got to have a contrite spirit. You got to come to Jesus Christ like a little baby, like a little child, and humble yourself. You got to humble yourself down to zero factor. So this Antichrist is going to sit in the temple and desecrate the temple. And he says, and pray ye that your flight come not in the winter. For in those days there shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. For the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders, seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. Jesus Christ is saying here in the 21st verse, says, and then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ. Jesus was talking about there's a man coming that's going to say that he is Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. He will come in Jerusalem and announce that he is Jesus Christ to the Jewish nation. And God warns the Jewish nation, don't believe him. Don't believe him. He is lying. I'm not coming from the desert. I'm not coming from the oasis. I'm not coming from a football game. I'm coming. Jesus Christ said, I'm coming in power and I'm coming in great glory, because when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he's coming from heaven, and to tell me heaven will open up, and to tell me he's going to descend from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, he's coming back with the church. And you say, well, preacher, how did he come back with the church? He's coming back with the church because just before the tribulation comes, amen, the church will be raptured. And they will be, we will be raptured to heaven, and there we will be in heaven for 7 years. And they tell me judgment on earth shall occur. And they tell me at the end of the 7 year tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back with the church. Not the Baptist, not the Presbyterian, not the church down the street, but the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, his own. Man, let me tell you something. When you purchase a soul by your own blood, that's power. And only God can do that. I can't purchase nobody with my blood. I can't purchase. You can't purchase nobody. No preacher can't purchase nobody. No pope cannot purchase you with his own blood. His blood is stained with sin. Every human being's blood is stained with sin. The only one that's stainless is the blood of Jesus Christ that can sanctify you forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise our God. So what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when Christ, this false Christ comes, Jesus tells the Jewish people, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't you even look a second time. Because this man is not Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist. He is a instrument that the devil going to use during the tribulation period. But before Satan enters into the Antichrist will come and confess that he is Jesus Christ. Well, he's a liar. He's a liar. The devil is a lie, and the truth is not in him. But he lied at the beginning. He lied at the beginning. He lied to Adam and Eve. And guess what? Adam knew he was telling a lie. She was deceived. She was tricked. And when she was tricked, she went and told Adam, and Adam said, well, you know what you got to do. You know what you're going to cause me to do. He ain't. By the lie that the devil told Eve. And he compromised with his wife, and when he ate, the whole human race went to the pot, went downhill, rock bottom, lost in sin, shame, and iniquity. And the only way that God could bring back the relationship between God and man, the only way, and that man is Jesus Christ, because it would lay on him the sins of the whole round world was laid on him. He paid the price 2,000 years ago, and the blood has never lost its power. And men and women today can come to him by confessing with their mouth and believing with their heart that God raised him from the dead. And the world is going on hell first. I'll have my fun. I'll do my drinking. I'll do my fornication. I'll do my lying. I'll do my cheat. I'll do my killing. I'll do my raping. I'll do my pornos. I'll do all this. I'm going to have me a good time. I'm going to party, 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 party. I'm going to enjoy life. I ain't worried about dying and going to hell. I believe I'm good enough to go on to heaven because God do love me. Yes, he love me, but there's something that God don't love. He don't love sin. He will not compromise with sin. He's going to destroy sin. And the only way that God can destroy sin and then eliminate it in your heart is through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because no sin, no sin, no sin will ever enter to the kingdom of God. Sin cannot exist around a holy, holy God, because God is so holy that the moon and the stars and the elements are impure to his sight. And the Bible says, what is man that thou shalt be mindful of him, or the son of man that thou shalt visit him? He's made a little lower than an angel, and he's crowned with glory. And when I made him, I called him out of the dust of the ground, and I breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And when he became a living soul, it was all right until Satan came in and cut man off from God. And since then, man has been on his own. But the only way that he can have peace, the only way he can have joy, the only way he can have love, the only way that he can come on in the presence of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood is powerful. The blood is more powerful than any force that man can even recognize. Is more powerful than that A bomb, the B bomb, the C bomb. Is more powerful than any man-made instrument. And God said, this is the only way. God said, this is the only way. I said, God said, this is the only way that I can bring man back to God. That's the only way I can bring man back to God. I can't. God said, I can't find no other way. There's no other way. I can't find no. My God. God said, I can't find no other way. I can't go to the angels. The angels can't do this. No. The cherubims can't do this. Seraphims can't do this. No. He can't do it. They can't do it. Okay, you want to go down there to the patriarchs. Oh, no. Moses can't do it. No. Job can't do it. Joseph can't do it. Esther can't do it. Nobody. All through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there's not a man that was born that could do what Jesus done. And the world is saying, what Jesus? Who is this Jesus Christ? What is he? What can he do? Well, you don't know what he can do until you try him. And if you ain't never tried it, then you don't know what he can do. The Bible will tell you what he can do. He can do all things. There's nothing impossible with God. And I know one thing he can do. I know one thing, and he can save your soul. Woo! And saving my soul is the most important thing to God. God is in the soul-saving business. The most important thing to God on this earth is man. Important to God. But God is telling man, I'm that important. And man is telling God, I don't think you're that important. You ain't, who are you special? What can you do? And the Lord will tell you, I made you. I made you out of the dust of the ground. And thus you came, and thus you shall return. And the Bible says the soul that sinned, it shall die. That means cut off from God forever. He's spiritually dead. All dead people spiritually go to hell. The only thing that can make you alive is found in the blood, because the soul is in the blood. If the soul is in the blood, then when Christ died on Calvary's cross, he opened a fountain, and that blood came streaming down. When that blood came streaming down, the soul, the Holy Spirit, was in the blood, and now the fountain is open. Men can come to this fountain and be filled with the Holy Spirit through the blood. Satan can't comprehend redemption. That's far beyond his comprehension. Satan can't live with a blood system. Satan cannot become human. He can get in a human body, just like the Antichrist. That's the only way he can do it. Satan can't die for humanity. He's wicked. He's low down dirty. He's rotten. He's a reprobate. He is done. When he rebelled in heaven, when he was cast out of heaven forever, and now he's in first and second heaven, working in the children of disobedience. And now, since we're living in the last days, he's rampaging through the land, in the government, in the religious system, in the economical system, in the homes, in the schools, in the institutions, in the colleges. The devil is working 24/7. 365 days a year, he's roaming this earth. He's like an old wolf. He's like an old lion. He's roaming, and he's trying to destroy the souls of men by the lust and sin and iniquity that he can produce. And man is saying now, oh, everything's going to be all right since the corona is over. It ain't over yet. There's something coming worse than the corona. What's that? Judgment. There's something coming worse than anything that you can face at. Revelation is getting ready to open up. It won't open up until the fourth chapter of Revelation. Why? The fourth chapter, Preacher Bazaar. Why the fourth chapter? Because the fourth chapter gives you the picture of the rapture. The rapture happens in the fourth chapter of Revelation. You say, well, how do you know? Well, let's read it and find out. Amen. See what Revelation said in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. John on the island of Patmos, 95 A.D., he wrote this book. And God gave it to the angels. The angel gave it to John. And when John gave it to John, he said, write to the seven churches of the Asia Minor. And that's what John did. And when he left planet Earth, this is what he quoted in the fourth chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Now you notice a door was open. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come, listen, come up hither, talking to John. This is the gateway that John wrote. This is what the inspiration of God wrote. Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. John is saying, church, here we go now. We're leaving earth. Come up hither. There's a door open. Only those that know Jesus Christ will go through this door. Those that don't know Jesus Christ will not go through this door. They will be here during the tribulation period. I will show these things which must be hereafter. I'm going to show you what's going to happen after the body of Christ is removed from the earth. When the body of Christ is removed from the earth, the body of Christ will be in heaven, and we will know what's going to be after the rapture of the church. We will see it. We will witness it. We will experience the catastrophe that's going to hit this earth. Listen to what he said. I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now here John said, immediately, a twinkling of an eye. You hear what I said? A twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye. And he said, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now the church is in heaven. The fourth chapter. This is the rapture chapter. This is the chapter in which the church is raptured up. And he said, I saw him sat on the throne, and he that sat on him looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the sight of the emerald. This is the throne of God. This is the rainbow that you see in the clouds. And it was a sign in the Old Testament that the Lord told Noah, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sign in the sky, and I'm going to represent that I will never again destroy the world by water again. I will destroy it by fire next time. And now this modern society have took the rainbow and made a gay thing out of it. They took the rainbow and made homosexuals out of it. They took this rainbow and made a lesbian out of it. They took all of God's glory. They're trying to take it in, and they ain't going to take it, but anyway, they're trying to defy the rainbow around God's throne. And then when man got a hold of it, he tried to put this as a gay, LBQJ, the homosexuals, the fags, and the gay folks are using this symbol as debauchery. They're using blasphemy against the Holy God. And God said, that's all right. I'm going to give them the choice to choose in whom they're going to serve. But I'm gonna bring vengeance on those, my adversaries. I'm going to show them who I am. You have tried to defame my name. You have tried to put me in the grave. You have tried to criticize me as if I'm an old man and can't see and I belong to the old folks home. But God said, I am the Lord God, and beside me there is no other. For I am the Alpha and Omega, and I am the beginning and the end. And John said, this is what I saw when I got to the judgment seat of Christ. And this is the judgment seat of Christ. He said, around about the throne were 24 seats, and up on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crown of gold. This is the 24 elders at the judgment seat of Christ. This is where the church is going to be judged. And when the church is judged, it's going to be judged for its works, not for salvation, because salvation has already been acquired by the faith you have in Jesus Christ. So when the church hears the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. And we still at the judgment seat, and out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning, and the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne there was a sea of glass, and to the crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around and about, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind, and the first beast was like a lion, and that represents Matthew's the lion, the king of the jungle. And the second beast was like a calf, which means servant. Jesus Christ was a servant. And the third beast was the face of a man, showing that Jesus Christ was human. Oh yeah, he was human, yet he was still God. And they tell me the other beast, like a flying eagle, represents the deity of Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty all by himself. And the four beasts had each of them six wings, and about him they were full of eyes, and within they rest neither not day nor night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for he has created all things, and for the pleasure they are and were created. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where the church will be during the tribulation period. The tribulation period. Now, the fifth chapter of Revelation gives us a picture of judgment coming upon the earth. And John said in the fifth chapter, inspired by God's word, inspired by God's breath, he said, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seven seals? And no man, here we go, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look upon. No man. From Adam to 2021, no man was able to open the book, nor look upon the book, nor touch the book. Why? Because men are unworthy. They're sinful creatures. Sin, born in sin. No earthly man, no angels, no cherubims, no cherubims, no creature was able to open the book. Now, where did that put you at? Come on now. Where did that put you at? That puts you at the bottom of the barrel. No man was able to open the seal. He says that no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereupon. You're not even allowed to look at the book. But all these preachers thinking they so much, all these fake preachers, I'm talking about fake preachers, believe they can get up in God's face and tell God what to do. They are unworthy to open the book. The same as I'm unworthy to open the book. I'm unworthy to even look upon the book. So nobody was able to open the book. Nobody was able to open and break open the seventh seal of Revelation. And John, I've wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, a lion out of the tribe of Judah, and the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sitteth upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one a harp and golden vials and odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seventh seal thereof, for thou was slain. Wait a minute. Who was slain? Jesus Christ was slain and has redeemed us to God. Redeemed us to God by what? By thy blood, out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. And I beheld a voice of many angels riding about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of was what? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. angels around the throne saying with a loud voice, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and the riches and the wisdom and the strength and the honor and the glory and the blessing." And every creature in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, which was in the sea and all that were in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth up on the throne and to the Lamb forever." All right, we pay homage to the Lamb and nobody else but the Lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Now, where you get your idea that you can fall down to anything else and think you worshiping God Almighty? If you don't bow down to the name of Jesus Christ, you ain't bowed down to the creator and maker of all mankind. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And very few people today want to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They don't want to confess that he's God Almighty. They don't want to confess that he died and suffered on Calvary's cross. They don't want to confess that he hung on Calvary for 9 long hours and dropped his head between locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost. They don't want to confess that they took him off the cross and put him in the grave. They don't want to confess that on the third day morning he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. They don't want to confess that he's coming back again in power and in great glory. But one day, one day, one day, one day, they're going to have to confess before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the glory of the kings of the earth. They're going to bow down to Jesus Christ for the final. Even Satan got to bow down, and all his demons in hell are going to bow down. Yeah, I'm talking about every white man, every black man, every dirty man, every white woman, every black woman, every Chinese woman, every Russian woman, every Argentinian woman, every Jew gonna bow down. Yeah, they're gonna bow down and confess that this Christ that you have denied your lifetime and that you made fun of and that you ignored and walked on your own way, and now you're gonna have to bow down and confess, "I don't know you," and you gonna have to go down into the pit there and pay for your own sins. Got to pay for your own sins. Oh, look at here. Look at here. The four beasts said amen. And the four and 20 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, that first two chapters there, number 4 and number 5, gives you who opened the book. It gives you where the church will be at the time of the rapture. It gives you a picture on what heaven looked like. The 24 elders, they would be saying praising God. They would be saying holy, holy. That will go on in heaven with the church for 7 years. We'll be rejoicing. We'll be have the victory. Woo! You talking about a good time? Good time, good time, good time. You talking about going to the Lamb's Supper. You talking about seeing all the Old Testament saints. You talking about sitting at the table, at the banquet table, sitting down eating food. You'll see Jesus. You'll see all the patriarchs. You'll see the glory of heaven. You have the praises of God on the tip of your lips. You talk about a good time. You talk about wiping away tears. You talking about no more crying. You talking about no more sadness. You talking about no more killing and murdering. You're talking about a good time. You're talking about it's always howdy, 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 and never goodbye. You're talking about a good time. You're talking about seeing all your loved ones. You're talking about a good time. You don't have to worry about having a good time in heaven. And one thing about it, it'll last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I can't quit saying enough ever, but it will be forever. Yes, indeed. And then, after the 7-year tribulation, just before we get ready to get started, John opened the first seal, the very first seal, and guess who appears on earth? The first seal, John said. This is what the Bible says now. This is what exactly what the Bible says. And I saw when the Lamb, Jesus Christ, one of the seals, And I heard as it was the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts said, come and see. The beast says to John, come and see. And John said, and I saw, behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth a conquering and to conquer. This first horse that Jesus Christ opened up, when he opened up, a white horse came. And this white horse represents the Antichrist that will be on earth during the tribulation period. And he said he had a bow in his hand. In other words, he had a bow, but he didn't have no arrow. So that means that he's going to come on a diplomacy plan. Amen. He's going to do a whole lot of diplomacy. He have no arrow, because he's not going to start with war. He's going to start with a peace plan. And this peace plan will be a confirmation or a confirmation of the peace treaty that's going to do with Israel. Then he's going to make a 7-year peace treaty on the peace plan, so he don't need no arrows. He don't need to make war. So by this peace plan, he will deceive the world and believe it that he is Jesus Christ by making this peace plan, by confirming this Abraham Accord that the Jews are planning now and getting together on the earth right now. So let me tell you something. And then he says he went forth a conquering to conquer. In other words, in the middle of the tribulation, after this resurrection occurred, the whole world will see the greatest fictitious resurrection that will be done by Satan. He will resurrect the Antichrist from the grave after he's been assassinated after 3 days. And the Bible says, after the deadly wound was healed. Let's see what Revelation 13 says. Revelation 13 says, after the deadly wound was healed, one, and I saw one of his head as it was wounded to death. This is 13:3. Wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world, majority of the world, wondered. Oh, my God. My God, my God. All the world wondered after the beast. They wondered after the beast because they didn't wonder after Jesus Christ. So they're going to wonder after the beast, which is Satan. And they worship the dragon, the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This beast, no man will be able to resist this awful beast. Why? Because it will be the devil incarnated in the Antichrist, and he will have the world wandering after the beast. And they will worship him, and they will say, who is like the beast? Who is like this man? Who can overthrow this man? Who can control this man? Nobody can control this man. This man will have the beast over the whole human race. Only one that can defeat this critter is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But the world don't want Jesus Christ. They want the beast. And the world will wonder after the beast. Majority of the world will wonder after the beast. That's the white horse. The white horse. The white horse is a deception. The devil loves to put a deception plot on. And he's been doing it for ages. He's been doing it for dynasties. He's been doing it for millenniums. He's been deceiving men. And he makes things look beautiful, deceptive. And he's using deception today. And this white horse will ride, and he will make a peace plan. And this peace plan, the world will dazzle at it. And after he gets through riding, John looked again, and he said, and when I opened the second seal, I heard the second beast said, come and see. And the Bible said, and there went out another horse, and it was red, and power was given to him that it should set thereupon and take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This red horse represents war. And this war is coming on the scene right now. World War III is coming on the scene. And this World War III is in the making right now through Iran and Iraq, and the nations of the world is fighting against Jerusalem that will lead into World War III because Russia is going to come in after a while, and they are going to try to make a final attack upon Israel. Putin is going to come with all the armies of the world because Ezekiel, the 37th and 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel says there is a king coming from the north called Gog, and Magog, Meshach, and Tubal, and these are going together, five other nations, to come down upon Jerusalem and conquer Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you it ain't going to work because God, I say God, Elohim, the Almighty, is going to step in his hand, and he's going to cause a great earthquake, and the armies of the world are going to gather upon Jerusalem and try to come upon the holy mountains. It's going to be Persia. It's going to be Iraq. It's going to be Ethiopia. It's going to be Libya. It's going to be Germany, and the nations of the world is going to make an attack, and then God is going to cause a great earthquake until men will actually kill each other. This is coming on the scene. 38 and 39 chapter of Ezekiel is coming on the scene. It's in the making right now in Jerusalem, right now. The Gaza Strip, the bombs have been shot by Hamas and Hezbollah. All these atheistic, non-believing, true believers don't believe in nothing but Allah. They are going to feel God's wrath. You talk about shaking, God's going to make the world shake like jello because they have tried to profane his name. They have called everything God is not but the Son of God. They have tried to construe and underestimate who God is. And God said, all right, y'all done picked at me enough. I done took enough. I done let you have your way. I done let you talk what you thought. Now it's my turn. And God's going to show Putin. He's going to show Russia. He's going to show Ethiopia. He's going to show Libya. He's going to show Egypt. He's going to show all those nations over there that's trying to get rid of his chosen people. And they're going to make a blunder of it. God is going to move. You talking about a moving. You talking about a moving God? God's going to move. He's moving now. But when that wind of judgment comes, he's going to move, going to shake the world. How bad is it going to shake? It's going to shake it so bad that men are going to take shovels and picks and dig inside the earth to try to hide from him. Oh, they're already doing it. They got bunkers right now. They got bunkers everywhere, all over the United States. People are digging, getting food. They're getting guns. They're getting everything they can because they know something's getting ready to happen. The government knows something's getting ready to happen. We're getting ready to go into socialism. We're getting ready to go into a dictatorship-type country. Right now, America is in a serious situation. She's in a serious situation because she's turned her back against the great God of Zion. She has turned her back against the love of God. She has turned her back against the cross of Christ. They have told and made fun of the cross. They kind of desecrate the cross. But they are lying one that the devil is a roaring lie, and he's seeking who he may devour. And this year war is on the verge right now. It's called the Gog and Magog War. Israel will be saved by God Almighty. God is going to be God is already a defense for Israel. But God's going to show the nations of the world who you messing with. And he's going to do it shortly. Shortly. It ain't 3 or 4 years from now. It's shortly. It's going to happen. Everybody worried about Corona. Church folks don't want to go to church no more. Folks want to just keep on living, not knowing who Jesus Christ is and think it's going to be all right. Well, it's not going to be all right. Men got to repent, or likewise they're going to perish. And God so loved us so much, and he gave us this opportunity to receive him, and people are turning their nose up. This is what John said, I wrote, and behold, I opened the third seal, and he said, come and see. And beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of banners in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil or the wine. Don't hurt the rich folks. But there's a famine coming. Food is getting short. The grocery store shelves are getting short. The farmers are not planting like they used to. The food is not growing like they used to. The meat is scarce. The people are shutting down meat plants, shutting down the petroleum plant. People are trying to bring the society into a socialist government and bring it down to its knees, and God is going to permit it to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because God loves us so much. He's trying to chastise us and us to his love, and people don't want to love God because bad things happen, and read bad things happen to make good things come forth, and people seem like they don't want to hear it. I ain't got time for this, but there's going to be a food shortage. People are going to go into cannibalism, and they're already doing it. The money is going to fail. The gold and silver is going to fail. Everything's going to fail but the word of God. The only thing going to be standing is the strength of God. The only thing that's going to last and go through the tribulation is the strength of God. If you haven't been born again or you don't get saved during the tribulation period, you're going to receive the mark of the beast. And people today are getting prepared for it. The coronavirus was the gateway to establish executive order that you have to have a vaccine in order to do business. But that's going to run right into the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is more devastating than the coronavirus. The mark of the beast says, if you will not bow down to the Antichrist, or bow down and worship Satan, or bow down and worship the beast, if you don't receive the mark of the imprint on your forehead or on the back of your hand during the tribulation period, you will not be able to buy and sell. You will be killed if you refuse the mark by the guillotine. The guillotine is in, you hear what I said? The guillotine is in the United States of America right now because America is going down the tube. But yet still, God got some saved people in America. He got some Christians in America. There's some people who still will stand up against sin and degradation and iniquity of Lucifer and all the Illuminati and all the Baphomets and all the Baal and all the Baals that people worship. There's Christians in America that's willing enough to lose their head and live for Christ. But during the tribulation period, America will fall under the Antichrist and the guillotines and the concentration camp and the FEMA camps. Folks are going to be going into the woods and the forest in order to survive, because if you live up in the city, you will not be able to survive, because let me tell you, they will catch you and take you on in. If you receive the mark, you're okay. If you refuse the mark, then you're going to be beheaded and die as a martyr for Jesus Christ. There's going to be cannibalism in the land. There's going to be zombies walking in the land. There's going to be an infiltration of demons that will fall from heaven, from first and second heaven, in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. These demons is known as UFOs. These are demonic demons. Let me tell you, they're demons. And they're getting closer and closer to the earth. And in the middle of that tribulation period, they'll be here on earth. Satan will come to earth before Jesus Christ comes to earth. Get me now. Satan will come to earth and all his demons in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Satan will be here. People will be shaking hands with him. People will be following him. People will continue to go in their sin and reject the blood of Jesus Christ, die and go to hell. And don't get mad at me. Humble yourself and repent. And if you humble yourself and repent from your pride and from your self-righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ, he will save you from your sins, that you will not have to perish in the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Brother, it's coming. It's coming. I think it's this month the U.S. government is going to announce that they've been dealing with these things ever since 1947. They've been dealing with these UFOs and these entities and these demons and the aliens. And they're going to come to Earth. And they're going to be walking up and down the Earth. They're going to be possessing men who have not the seal of God on their forehead. And at the same time, while the devil's doing his ruffling and killing and murder, God said, I'm not through, I'm not through. There are still some people left on earth after the rapture need to hear the gospel, and I'm going to send 144,000 Jews to preach for 3.5 years, constantly, day and night. Endless gospel preaching will be announced through internet, Instagram, Twitters, Facebook. The gospel will be preached by 144,000. And people after the rapture will hear the gospel from the Jewish people, and they will be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who put their trust in him. And it's going to be a great revival during the tribulation period. It will be so great that the number of men will be saved, number of children, a number of teenagers will be saved, such a great number that John asked the question, where did these come from and who are they? And he said, don't you know? He said, no. He said, these are they that heard the gospel and came through the great tribulation with palms in their hands, singing a new song, a song that the angels cannot sing. And I don't know the name of the song, but I believe, I know a song that the angels can't sing. They can't sing, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The angels can't sing that, but only a born-again believer can sing that song. I've been redeemed, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God Almighty. I've been saved from my sins. Those that get saved in the first part of the tribulation period, we'll have to go through the great tribulation. And that's where the persecution will come in. Loved ones will be losing their loved ones. Fathers will be losing their sons. Sons will be losing their fathers. It will be such a great time like never since the beginning of time. God will bring judgment upon the planet, but he will give man at least 7 years to be judged on which way he wants to go. And what's going to really get the world in believing that this man is the true Christ is the resurrection. When he do this fake, phony, demonic resurrection, the world will be deceived. Majority of the world will be deceived. And then hell will break loose. It will be bad in the first part of it. It's going to be bad. But in the second part of the tribulation period, it's going to be hell on earth. You're talking about Independence Day. You're talking about invasion from interplanetary aliens. The earth is going to be invaded with demons and devils. The devil's coming down here. And he knows he ain't got nothing but a short time, but he's going to be raising hell. The government's going to collapse. The economical system's going to collapse. The religious system is going to hurt. All the religious system is going down the tube. The only thing going to be able to stand is those that are bearing the cross in the name of redemption washed in the blood of the Lamb is going to be able to stand. We don't have Antichrist come. We don't have war. We have famine. And John says, and I heard, the fourth seal. I heard a voice say, the fourth beast said, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that set on him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with war and with famine and with diseases and the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. When they opened that fifth seal, these are the saints that was beheaded for the witness of Jesus during the tribulation period. The last part of the tribulation period, they will be so bloody, it's going to be guillotines sitting on the church lawns because there won't be no church. I ain't going to say there won't be no church. There won't be no assembly together because the church will be gone at this time. There won't be what it is now. And it's getting there. Because when people get ready to go back to church, if they ever do go back, they can't preach this prosperity plan. No, that's out. All the fake preachers, you're going to find out who they really are. So they ain't going to be preaching, send me $500, send me $1,000, send me this and this and this, and I'm riding in a jet plane. Yeah, I'm riding down the road on a bicycle. That's all right, too. If I got Jesus, I don't need all that. Amen. But disease is going to strike the earth that no vaccine is not going to be able to cure. God done show his mercy to the world. He done showed his mercy towards me. He done showed his mercy towards family. He done showed mercy toward my enemy and those that despitefully use me. He done showed his mercy. And people are spitting at it. People are denying it. People think they can make it to heaven without Christ. You done lost your mind. You done let the devil deceive you to a point where you believe in anything that sounds to fit your wait, but to tell me the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it'll cut you down, cut you up, sideways, broadways, and make you look at yourself, and you say, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm wretched. My wretched is like filthy rags. Lord, save my soul. Save me and cleanse me in your precious blood, in your blood that was shed for my sins and your sins. We're in the time now that everybody's trying to make it without, a lot of people trying to make it without God, hoping it's going to get better, but it's not going to get better, my friend. The 144,000 were preached the first 3.5 years, and then God said, I'm going to send my last two witnesses on earth. And at the same time, I'm going to send some angels to preach the everlasting gospel. God done went down to the last drip. What you mean, preacher? I mean Jesus Christ done did all he could do. He can't do no more. He can't do no more but save. Took him 4,000 years to get down here. When he got down here, he stayed here 33.5 years. After the 33.5 years, he went to Calvary, died, went to the grave, came up on the third day, came back to earth, went on back to heaven. He did that. He'd been gone for 2,000 years. He done sent his holy word, sent his prophets, sent his preachers, sent the apostles, sent men to preach the gospel for the last 2,000 years. Preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Say in Jesus, him crucified. Preach it, preach it. Sanctify, cleanse your heart. Preach the new birth. Preach living right. Preach loving one another. Preach that Jesus Christ is literally, visibly coming back again to get a church. There's a literal seven-year tribulation. There's a devil getting ready to come to this earth. There's an antichrist getting ready to be resurrected. There's two witnesses that's going to come in the last 3.5 years. These two witnesses are going to be so powerful as they were in the Old Testament. And two powerful prophets that were powerful in the Old Testament was Moses and Elijah. And Elijah and Moses is coming back to make their last witness for the last 3.5 years. And it's going to be televised. Oh, yes, it will. It will be on every internet you can name. Ain't nobody going to miss this. Nobody. I don't believe a dead man can miss this. Because it's going to be prophesied every day. Every week, every month, every 3.5 years, prophets is going to preach that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years and put the devil in the bottomless pit and let him stay there for 1,000 years, and after the 1,000 years, release him to prove to the human race that there's one sin that you can't blame on the devil, and that's the sin of unbelief. You know what people, you know what kind of all people is going to hell? The worst sin that you can commit. The worst sin that you commit. You can live on this earth for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. You can live on this earth. Some people have good times, some people have bad times, but you can live on this earth without Christ in your life. And some people are happy. But if you live 80, 70, 60, if you live that long and never believe and trust in Jesus Christ for your soul salvation, and you die, whether you're a church member or you're not a church member, whether you're a preacher or you're not a preacher, whether you're a deacon or not, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be sanctified by his blood, calling on the name of Jesus, committing and submitting yourself to his Holy Spirit and never been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you die without that witness and without that experience with Christ, you will go to hell, period. You will go to hell, period. And when you wake up from what? From the grave to go to the great white throne and stand before God Almighty. And your book is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means that you will spend eternity in hell. And if you even dare ask the question, why are you putting me in hell, God Almighty? Why do you let me go to hell? God will say, I didn't let you go to hell. You chose to go to hell. Why, Lord? Why are you? I'm putting you there because you refuse to accept my son's sacrifice for your sin. That's it. That's it, brother. That's it, sister. That's it. The world is going to hell because they reject Christ. You can accept Jesus Christ and still have sin problems in the flesh. But some people don't want to turn from sin. They love it. They enjoy it. And sin does nothing but harden your heart. The older you get, the longer you stay in sin, and the longer you get rebellious, the harder your heart gets. But nobody, everybody that stands before the great white throne will never be able to say a mumbling word. They will have to drop their heads in shame and sorrow and everlasting punishment. And the devil will be laughing and crying and in agony because there's a lot of people going to hell. Not because I'm saying it, but because the word said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat. For narrow the way and straight is the gate that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. So the main sin that you will be in hell for will be because you rejected. You denied. You played with your soul. You dilly-dally with your soul. You believe what that preacher said, and he deceived you. You believe what the devil tells you, and if the devil tells you you really don't have to go to the cross, that's the wrong devil. Because a born-again believer, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, he will tell you the dead truth. You must be born again. Brother, don't leave this planet. Please. Please don't leave this planet without accepting Jesus Christ. It is a sad, sad destiny if you die lost. You will have to be tormented according to divine justice law. You will have to be tormented for your own sins because you refuse to turn to God. You can be a good person. If it's a thing as a good person, Jesus said, no man good, only one good, and that's my Father which is in heaven. The most beautiful person, the most educated, the most unique royal royal king, princes, and generals and captives. I don't care if you die without Christ. Hell will be your home. And that's what people seem like they want to do. And the way they swear to they, hell yes, hell no. How the hell are you? Why don't you go to hell? Hell is your home. You're a fool for leaving. Oh, hell is used all through our Bible vocabulary. Hell is used more than ever. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Now, what was he trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you, flee. Flee. You die out rejecting Jesus Christ, go to hell because you reject Jesus Christ, then you got to pay for the sins that you've done, not just for unbelief. All the lying, whoremongering, lesbianism, all that stuff, you got to pay for that because you sin against the Holy God. Woo! Woo! Sin against the Holy God. Woo! Lord, have mercy. Make sure, make your spinal cord shiver. God is so holy that he's willing enough to sanctify your soul and give you love, and you reject it. Oh, oh, oh. The Bible says you're not condemned of what you do. You're condemned because you believe not on the only begotten Son of God. People say you go to hell for smoking. No, that smoking is a flesh sin. Fornicating is a flesh sin. Adultery is a flesh sin. The Bible says if you look at a woman, amen, and desire undressed, you already committed adultery. How many times you done that, you got to say, forgive me, Lord. Temptation, nothing wrong with temptation, is when you yield. And the world today, they don't even worry about temptation. Now, they'll do what they want to do. But you got to pay for your sins. So hell is going to be full of what? unbelievers, nothing but unbelievers. A hypocrite is an unbeliever. A backslider is a believer that believes in Jesus Christ. God is married to a backslider. He still belongs to a backslider. So when Christians are raptured up, born-again believers, they're going to be found in all kinds of conditions. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be judged not for your salvation, but for your works. Your works, what the Christians have done through your lifetime working for Christ. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will not enter in. They will say, we prophesied in thy name, we cast out devils in your name, we fed people, we took care of people, we did all that. Yeah, you did. That was some of the stuff you did was good by, you know, helping people, but false, being false is the thing about it. But all that you do, if you haven't been born again, you're still lost. You got to come to Christ. Apostle Paul said, I don't know nothing but save Jesus and him crucified. My friends, you need Jesus Christ in your life. You need to turn from your sins. And I'm not going to sit up here and try to name all the sins. There's so many sins, sin everywhere. And the only thing that can devastate and put sin to a flight is the blood of Christ. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and guess what? He'll save you from that. What will he save? Save your soul. The body cannot be saved from sin. The body is always going to be sinful. But you got to have the Holy Spirit in your heart, spirit, to control your lust appetites. That's why the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit don't mean you flipping and jumping and speaking in tongues. Being filled with the Spirit really knows that, amen, you are aware. You're aware every minute. Tricks of the devil and things that's going on in the world. You're praying and fasting and you're hoping and you're looking for the something coming of Jesus Christ. You're putting the whole arm of God on. Amen. The Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Talking in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. And if it's in you, it's in there to stay. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Don't you want to be there? I'm here to tell you that this is the day that the Lord has made. Be glad in it. God is real. And he's real. And he will never change. And I want to let you know this is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'm talking on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Let you know, look up Your Redemption Draws Nigh. Put your hope and trust in him. For in him we move and have our being. He is real today. He will be real tomorrow, the everlasting Father. The old rugged cross is the only thing I know that can deliver you from sin. You need to know the Christ that saved me a long time ago. And I want to let you know he's real and he loves you. And the only thing you've got to do is trust in him. I want you to come on in with this song with me, The Old Rugged Cross. That's the only thing I know. Let Jesus Christ pour all that love in you by the cross. Because he loved you so much, he was willing enough to die on the cross for you.
For a world, all the lost sinners.
Yeah. You can come to him now.
So I'll
never regret
it. Cherish the old
If you repent now, turn from your way, he can save you. I'm gonna lay down my troubles one day.
I'll lay down.
He's real, this one.
So I'll please you to the old.
Run the cross.
Yes, I will.
Bless you, God bless you. This is Elder Bizarre. So glad I'm able to try to share that song with you. That's a song of my heart. There's nothing like that cross of Jesus Christ. It will last forever. It's the centerfold of my life. Amen. I want it to be centerfold of your life. Amen. What Jesus done for me. Little old me. Little pitiful me. Little old me, me, me. He did all that for me, not only for me, but he did it for the whole round world. He did it for every human being to come to him and believe on him and trust in him. And I guarantee you, if you just try him, woo, if you just try him for 90 days, I guarantee everything I got, I guarantee my life, you'll never turn back on him. You may backslide, but you won't turn your back because he said, I'll seal you with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. He said, I'll keep you forever. And thank God, God can keep your soul forever. He will never let you go. He said, I'll never leave and neither will I seek you. No, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. This is LG Bizarre. I love you all out there. Amen. I'll be back on Sunday evening. At 5 to 7 o'clock, come on back, and we'll talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't nothing else to be talking about. I'm not talking about other people's business. The best thing I can talk about is Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May he keep you in these evil days and put his arm of protection around you. Amen. Till he come back again, morning, night, or noon, be ready when he comes. This is Elder G. Bizarre, over and out.